The next case is 96-210, 96-387, State of Ohio versus Deanna McGee. Mr. Triplett.
Court didn't have any difficulty potential raises it to the level of recklessness, or are you saying that this is simply a lack of definition so that the other statute applies?
I think, Your Honor, that language does lend itself to that interpretation. We're relying on the general rules of statutory construction for criminal offenses here, of course, for dealing with felonies, wherein it has is set forth by the legislature that the requirement is that a recklessness where there's not a plain intention evidence in the statute for there to be strict liability.
Was this, are we examining this under a plain error, or was it brought to the trial court's attention?
It was brought to the trial court's attention.
How and at what stage?
Well, my recollection is that it was brought to the court's attention prior to the start of the trial. There was a discussion. I believe some of that was on the record with respect to the issue.
We're only talking about what's on the record. What will we find?
Well, I understand that, Your Honor. I believe that's the record. There was also a motion made for direct verdict. It was in the state's case on the issue of recklessness. On the issue that the state did not prove the element of recklessness in its case.
Counselor, I recognize that there have been 7 and maybe even 9 court of appeals that have gone the other way, that have found recklessness to be the standard. The other 2 are a little confusing. I've also noticed, as I went back and reviewed those cases, that in several of them, each cited the other. I say that to you because when I read this statute, I think about at least the 3 levels we have: negligence, recklessness, or intentional. Obviously, it's not intentional here, so now we're between recklessness and negligence. What does that part of the statute mean, as Justice Stratton asked, of the child by violating their due care? When you violate a duty of due care, I have the obligation not to run into the back of your car. If I violate that obligation, I violated the standard of due care. And don't we call that negligence?
Yes,
okay.
We do in that context.
All right.
That's correct.
And I hadn't thought about it until I went back and looked at it, again, just before we argued these cases. I hadn't thought about the words just before that, shall create a substantial risk to the health. Is that a standard, creating a substantial risk that you are trying to equate to recklessness? Because you lose, don't you, if we just interpreted a duty of due care?
I haven't framed my argument, I don't think, in those terms. I understand where you're coming from there.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to help your case. Your argument specifically is then, because it is silent, recklessness is the standard. So if we find that it is not silent, you lose.
I would say that if the court finds that it is not silent, and if the court finds that it plainly indicates an intention for strict liability, then I lose.
I don't even think it needs to be strict liability, does it? Negligence is not necessarily strict liability.
That's true, Your Honor.
Those cases don't think I'm down on the side that, in effect, the statute is silent, and therefore recklessness is a standard. And that's a prevailing thread through at least the 7 court of appeals.
I would say that's true, and I would also say, Your Honor, that in response to the arguments of the prosecution in this case, that it doesn't make sense to add the recklessness sort of language to this statute, that
going along with your argument, the statute just simply doesn't say by violating a duty of care. It goes on to say by violating a duty of care, protection, or support. So it isn't, we're not just talking about a duty of care, which results in negligence, but we're also violating a duty of protection or a duty of support. And how could you equate negligence with a violation of a duty of support?
And I think to a certain extent, Ron, that's where we're missing out as far as
that's
here, right. where we're talking about a mental state. The place to insert that, if you intended to, would be in the part that talks about the conduct, which here is creating a risk or a condition. And in the statute, the language is not there. It's also interesting that in neither statute does the does that call for language here, neither subsection A or subsection B. And as one of the courts of appeals reasoned, there's no reason to treat them differently. In court cases, you're seeking to criminalize the act of the defendant in this case because of serious physical harm weighted with a felony. So, under those circumstances, Your Honor, we submitted that the various courts of appeals have decided the issue correctly and asked the person to
Thanks, Mr. Tripa. Thank you. Mr. Heaton.
I would just point out to the court in response to Justice Cook's question that I believe that the evidence in this case would indeed rise to the level of recklessness had the court determined that that was the necessary mental state.
Is that your strongest argument?
No.
Other than the interpretation statute?
No.
Okay.
But I just wanted to point out that that evidence before the court and the decision of Judge O'Connor began with a reading of the Ohio jury instructions, which include a statement of recklessness in the Ohio jury instructions. And then he goes out to cite the Derringer decision and says that I'm not going to use that. He doesn't say that he doesn't find it. He just says that he doesn't reach that level in his decision.
Isn't the problem we're faced with is that point 22 refers to by violating a duty of care without saying what that duty is? We don't have any idea, do we? I mean, it could be negligence, it could be something else, but
subsection A is a statute which criminalizes the omission to act, I believe, as opposed to subsection B, which criminalizes to torture or to promote prostitution an act on the part of the defendant. Subsection A says that if I do not exercise as a parent that basic duty that I owe my child for bringing it into this world, and that results in that child being substantially injured, then that is criminal on my part. And I think that is what Justice Holmes was looking to in the case of State versus Sands in 1979, when he says that whatever the color of the collar, white or blue, a generally accepted standard of societal attention to the needs and care of our offspring is not difficult of either determination or application. Nor in our society is for a parent to strive to see that his children are reasonably well nourished, housed, and clothed, and reasonably protected from harm, provided with necessary health care.
Doesn't that argue for a higher standard than negligence? If it's a duty to support and care for your children, that's pretty subjective, and it seems to me that to find someone guilty, albeit this case obviously is beyond that, but to find someone guilty of not supporting or protecting on a...
They're talking about support as in payment of child support or that type of thing.
Well, it means clothing and feeding, I would guess, doesn't it, and educating.
Right. And I think that it is. And where you don't do that, and I don't think that it rises to the level of recklessness, I think where you don't do that and don't care for them, merely neglectfully, you just absolutely do nothing. As in this case, stay in bed till 1 o'clock in the morning while your child is screaming, stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning watching movies, I think that type of conduct is punishable. I think that's what the legislature meant. I think in the notes to the legislation, they talk about it a lot. And I think that's where that comes from. Also, in State versus Campbell, Justice Celebrez makes a statement in talking about 2919.2a, it's not necessary to show an actual instance or pattern of physical abuse on the part of the accused or to justify conviction under 2919.2a. Affirmative acts of torture, abuse, and excessive acts of corporal punishment or disciplinary measures are expressly covered under Division B of the statute. Division A is concerned with circumstances of neglect, as is indicated by the committee comments 2919.22. Accordingly, an inexcusable failure to act in discharge of one's duty to protect a child, where such failure to act results in substantial risk to the child's health or safety, is an offense under 2919.22a.
Before looking at statutory interpretation, what the legislature meant by this language, it seems that negligence, ordinary duty of care negligence, is such a low standard in light of, I mean, I can think of 100 instances just sitting here where my kids did something that, you know, under this sort of a test, I would have been found guilty of endangering children. There's so much that you can't handle and deal with in the ordinary raising of children under an ordinary standard of care that I guess I'm having a time struggling with. Is that what the legislature really meant, or did they mean something more serious than that?
I believe in an effort to protect our children that the legislature meant that if you're negligent in the care of your children.
Because what you read, what you were reading, really is more intentional. I would put those things in an intentional category, the abuse sort of situation, so that you have a jump from the negligence to an intentional under the definitions that you're seeking.
Well, it seems to me that Justice Celebrez says Division A is concerned with circumstances of neglect.
And neglect is more of an intentional thing, at least in my book.
Well, see, I
don't
view that.
Kid, that's pretty intentional.
I view that as being negligent. Okay? Neglectful of your duties. And I think that's what he's talking about here. I don't think that he's talking about intentional child neglect, such as is punishable by legal courts or by reason of which the Children's Services Board can take custody of the children. I think it's something where if you bring a child into this world, or you adopt a child, or you assume the care of that child, especially in this instance where it's 20 months old, but even if it's 17, you have a duty to take care of that child. Now, admit, you know, that your neglect area is going to be, you're going to be held to less when the child is 17 than when it's 20 months. But at the same time, if you're negligent in what is presumed in our society to be the norms of caring for a child of 20 months or of 17, and that causes that child to be injured severely or to die, as in this case, then I think that should be criminalized. And I believe that's what the legislature has done here. I don't think that it's that you hold the standard to that of recklessness, wherein you would say that I have to perversely disregard a known risk to create a substantial risk, which we argue in our brief, is what the legislature is looking at. Because if I know about what the risk is, how am I creating then a substantial risk? We would ask that this court, on a review of the arguments of counsel and the briefs,
you, Mr. Heaton. Mr. Triplett, you've saved 2 minutes of your time. Lesser included offense of this statute.
What happens if we reverse?
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.